heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to. We must continue to work hard at creating the environment of ownership as we strive to build partnerships and relationships with the community. We must be humanitarians who consistently seek to improve the quality of life for all members of our community through our leadership. In order for us to carry out the mission and accomplish the goals, we must remember we are a team.
We are a team. We talked about this before. Eric Randall is now installed as the chief of Pensacola Police. Just came here from Newport News, but he's from here originally with a strong background in here. And as I love one of his comments to now deputy chief again, Kevin Crispin. He said, thank you for keeping my family safe while I was away. Man, I love that comment. Joining us now, we have Pensacola Mayor Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Pretty good event the other day. I was very impressed by the turnout.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good event. I thought the whole time, I think what you heard Eric say and, you know, what he's already doing shows why he was our choice to be there. And I think he's going to be an excellent choice for leading Pensacola Police Department. I think there is, I think he's focused on how do we build unity, how do we take care of the community and create unity both within police and community. So I think we're headed in the right direction. Under the leadership that was there. But I think he's got a chance to take us to the next level.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you about connected to that is you have expressed your sort of disappointment with how the Citizens Police Advisory Committee turned out in the end, and you have allowed that to lapse as it was, you know, not really supposed to go on forever and ever. There's been some talk about whether that would come back. Chief has said that he is in favor of having some kind of a citizen committee. If he wants it, are you supportive? Is that a point of tension with you guys at all?
Absolutely. I think as we learned last year, and what we continue to learn is when people say advisory committees, they mean a lot of things. So I think there are people who want an oversight committee. I think what we've talked about for a long time is, yes, there is a need for an advisory committee that provides advice in what we're doing. The discussions you and I've had is sometimes I wish we'd gotten more advice. We had a lot of people that wanted to be an oversight committee. I don't think that's what the chief is talking about, but I believe he feels the same way I do, that if you have an advisory committee to look at things and provide advice, that is something that we're all interested in.
All right. And I know, you know, you would, this is not like this is some secret sudden thing. And so part of your choice in hiring him was knowing what he wanted to accomplish. And certainly I'd expect you to be supportive of that. We were talking this hour and really throughout the day today about the Project Titan, the next phase of the ST Aerospace project at the airport. Buildings 2 beginning, buildings 3 and 4 coming starting next year. David Penzone's comments in his briefing at the City Council agenda, all of which I know you're familiar with. The question that I have is, if we're sitting now somewhere at about half capacity of the 400 at the first hangar, and everybody acknowledges that getting employees who are trained and capable is the challenge, and that in order to get to 1,700, we're going to have to really probably train and hire about 30, you know, about twice that to really make it all work. How practically do we get there from here? That looks like a huge hurdle to me.
I think it is a big hurdle. I think this is why you saw some of the things that were discussed. I think when Councilman Wiggins asked the questions about, you know, how do you get out of what George Stone is, and they're already looking at it. They do their own stuff. I think you heard the same thing from David Penzone, says, hey, they realize this. They've been going to Triumph. Triumph has given it a lot of money for educational purposes, and not just in Pensacola. There's MRO opportunities. They've given money across Northwest Florida and other counties that I think will also see producing the same kind of thing. So I think there's been a recognition that this industry is there. So you're going to start seeing these things pop up that are airman academies. What we're trying to do too is to get people here to realize there are opportunities and that maybe they should be thinking about what they want to do. And if this, they have any interest, any inclination, they need to start lining up what they're doing. I think that's certainly for people that are in the high school track right now. For those that have already graduated and want to readdress themselves, I think there is the stuff through Pensacola State. You can go back through. I think it's always been a question of what comes first, the jobs in the hangar or the creation through the programs. The problem is we haven't been able to get things going without the hangars there and the jobs ready to go. Right now,
but at Hangar 2, I mean, they have job openings that they're not able to fill right now, and they're only trying to get to 400. Getting to 1,700 seems like a huge hurdle.
They have gotten people here from Pensacola, and they are sending them at this point to Mobile to work because the work is there, because there's no hangar here to do the work here. So I think a lot of those people will transition back out. They're already taking people. They're employing people here and driving them to Mobile, and they have the ability, as soon as that comes back and bring that business here, that's what they're looking to do. So they have been hiring people. So they've got people working that they can bring here. The issue is, again, I think Hangar 2 allows them to reach the economy of scale of what they need to get going. I think Hangar 2 will do much of what we need to do to get the east side maximized once we get Hangar 2 in and the supply center. I think that will happen. I think the issue then really becomes with Hangars 3 and 4. And again, they're realizing that they've got to get the talent. They're working on that right now.
What I hear you saying is
just like everybody else.
Don't read half capacity at Hangar 1 as an inability to get to full capacity. Read it as when Hangar 2 is ready, they can get Hangar 1 full and also Hangar 2 at full capacity. Is that what I hear you saying?
That's what I'm seeing them do already. But then You've got Hangar 3 and 4.
Right.
And there's going to be a need. I think at the same time, I don't know that we can supply all that labor internally, which comes back to the point of what we're seeing. Everybody keeps asking, well, why are house prices going up dramatically? Well, because people are moving here.
Right.
I think there is going to be a need for labor to move here, and I wish we had the ability to grow all our own right now. I think we're working on that, and we got to continue to keep working on it. But these are things we've been saying, you know, press conferences and discussions, that I've been saying for years now.
I was watching this, and I had some of those questions, and I don't know that I'm still persuaded, but that's at least a hint in the direction of an answer, so I appreciate that. One of the things that you announced a couple of weeks back, we just haven't had a chance to talk about it, is the electric charging stations that you're going to have put in, and, you know, I guess it's going to be, what, new construction, and then also at the...
new facilities. We're going to have a place in there, whatever, in the parking lot, and we're going to make that happen.
And also at City Hall, though, right?
Now of ours... it's one of the things we brought Mark Jackson in to do and to look at things that we could do to begin to do things. And like I told y'all before, he was going to start coming up with policies that he thought we could implement. And we're moving forward on all these things.
And there's also going to be charging stations at City Hall. Do I understand that properly?
We're looking at that. We're looking with Gulf Power too, and what's going to happen. Putting some solar stuff in there. So, I mean, we're evaluating, you know, we've got a lot of things going on right now and looking at alternative energies and at this particular time, renewable energy. So that's our whole goal with some of those sunshades, to have an ability to collect solar and have charging station off of that.
So will those, and this is a question I just didn't know the answer to, somebody had asked me, will the electricity provided at the charging stations at Pensacola facilities, will that be provided, will there be a cost, will that be just a free hook up your car here thing, how is that going to work?
And I don't have the detail on all that, how that gets marketed or what happens. I don't know at this particular time how that happens with Gulf Power. But the idea is we definitely want there to be something. I don't know if there's some charge or if it's included in the issue. We're allowing them to do it on solar power on our property and then turn that solar power, which is the sun, into that. I don't have the details on that either.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's fair. We'll wait to see. Last thing is, you know, I don't always see eye to eye with Sherry Myers on a lot of things, but I definitely agree with her, and I think you do too, about the possibility of beautifying this retention pond that's on the west side of 12th Avenue on the north side of Marketplace, right across from the intersection with Bayou. It's an eyesore now, and if we can turn that into like a walking facility, something maybe like the one that's up on Olive west of Skate, Dreamland Skate, where we could have, you know, butterflies and bees that are, I mean, I just love the concept.
Well, I think everybody loves the concept. I think the question is going to come down to when you allocate money, and that's going to be the hard part. But I think the concept is good, and I think everybody's agreed and thought, hey, if we could do this, this would be great. I think the question is where do you find the funding? How does it get allocated? I think Councilman Myers certainly believes, I believe too, that we're going to probably come in under budget on the Burgess Road stuff. So there may be some funding there. We obviously just need to get through Burgess and then find out what we have.
All right. Well, good. And, you know, I love amenities. I love seeing them happen. And especially if you can take something that's kind of ugly and nasty and beautify, especially if you can get private contributions from the businesses in that area to help support it as well. That'd be fabulous. Mayor Grover Robinson.
We'd love that, too.
Go ahead.
We'd love that, too. And that certainly gives them the opportunity. If there are property owners in the area that want to contribute to it to help make it happen faster, that's also another way of funding. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's about 1,000 cars that go past that every single day going to Fishbine. So let alone the new rehab facility that's going in on the back end of that property. Mayor Grover Robinson, as always, a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. You take care, Andrew. Thanks.